spiritual enemy tonight. So I want to start our service reading 1 Peter chapter 5, starting at verse 8. It says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen." You and I are involved in spiritual warfare right this second, whether you understand that or not. Many Christians do not know that when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you just enlisted in his army. You switched armies. You used to be in Satan's army, fighting for what was sinful and fleshly, and when you receive Christ, you switch armies. In his book on spiritual warfare, Chip Ingram wrote this: "The truth is that there is an invisible war that's just as real as the visible war. There are vast numbers of angels, both good and bad spirits, that exist all around us. There are glorious beings that would take your breath away if we saw them. There are evil beings that would horrify us if we could see them. We are involved in an invisible war, a cosmic conflict that has eternal implications. It is real, it is serious, and it is ultimate in its consequences. We are soldiers in the battle that matters most." The book of Ephesians tells us that our struggle in this life is not primarily against flesh and blood. So many people think, it's my wife's fault, it's my husband's fault, it's my kids' fault, it's my parents' fault. Folks, what's going wrong in this world is mostly due to satanic attacks. And we have to understand Satan is just as busy today as he was in the time of our Lord, as he was in the time of Noah, as he was with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He's still attacking Christians, seeking, number one, to get you to doubt your Lord, and seeking, number two, to get you to disobey your Lord. It's a spiritual battle that does indeed have eternal consequences. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." God does not expect you to trust in your own power to overcome Satan. It cannot be done. There's not a person in this room. I remember seeing some evangelists one time saying, "Come on, Satan, let's go at it." Folks, do you know what chance that pastor or any pastor would ever have, or any other person, against Satan alone? You haven't got a prayer. He's vastly stronger than we are, way more knowledgeable, and way better at lying than you'll ever be. Some people are very good liars. I was never very good at it. I always got caught, and it's probably a good thing. But Satan is an expert liar. Very hard to perceive when he's lying and when he's telling the truth. But the truth of the matter is, he doesn't tell the truth hardly ever. And so it's pretty easy with Satan. You can just say, the Bible says he's a liar from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. He tells us as Christians, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Some of you, when it says put on the full armor of God, your mind goes back like mine does to David when Saul told him to put on Saul's armor. And David said, "I'm not used to this." So he took it off. My friends, you need to get used to God's armor, because you can't win this battle on your own. A little sling isn't going to do you a bit of good, because Satan doesn't have a body the sticks and stones are going to do any good with. It's a spiritual battle. And in order to do spiritual battle, we have to, number one, be spiritual. You can't even start to struggle against Satan until you know the Lord is your Savior. And then the Holy Spirit comes in, and then the Word of God begins to make sense to you, and you can start putting on the armor of God. That invisible war, the enemy seeks to blind us to the truth of God's Word. The first temptation that ever came into this world was Satan saying to Eve, "Did God really say?" And Eve having a doubt in her mind whether God was for her best interest or not. The reason we fall into temptation and the snare of the devil is because we doubt our God's goodness. We begin to think, with Satan enticing us, that God's holding out the best. The Bible says God withholds no good thing from them that love him, from them that obey him. The enemy seeks to blind us to the truths of God's word and entice us with spiritual lies to be deceived and disobey our God. So number one, we need to learn how to identify the enemy. Who is Satan? In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, he says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kinds of suffering." I don't have a great memory, but I can remember some things. And I remember the first time I heard the name Osama bin Laden. And some of you may think back, this is a man that hated our country, hates our way of life, hates everything that we stand for and the Bible teaches. Muslim man that hated us, and he was the one that was the organizer for the destruction of the naval destroyer, the USS Cole, while it was refueling in Yemen. This man hated us so much that 17 of our sailors were killed and 38 more were injured terribly. And sometimes we have trouble understanding that kind of hatred. Most of you remember 22 years ago, September 11, 2001, the hatred of people to fly planes into the Twin Towers of New York City and kill almost 4,000 people. It was pure hatred. They didn't even know those people. They didn't care whose dad or mother they were. They didn't care if there was children there. It's pure hatred. Sometimes, and we've seen that in our government quite often, we are telling ourselves, if we can just reason with those people, and we can just talk to those people and show kindness to those people, sooner or later they're going to warm up to us and there won't be any more fighting. Do you know what the chances are of winning those people over by being kind and generous and nice is? It's 0%. It's not going to happen. Because the religion is based on hatred. The Muslim religion, if you follow it, if you read the book of the Quran, it says you talk to a person once. If they don't listen, you talk to them again. If they still won't listen, what do you do next? You kill them. That's what they're taught. Now, not all Muslims are that way, but that is what the Quran says. And you have to understand why they hate us so much. Because they believe, by forcing you to become a Muslim like they are, they're going to gain eternal life. And they are taught that if they kill Christians, they're going to get eternal life. Folks, that's why they hate you so much. And it's hard for us to believe in that kind of hatred. But we are in a spiritual battle. And spiritually, through lies taught by Muhammad, most Muslims believe that Christians are the enemy. And we're not. Satan is the enemy of those people, and he's deluded them into believing things that are absolutely not true. But in that delusion, we go from a spiritual battle to a physical battle, back to a spiritual battle, and this has been going on how many years now? It's almost 2,000 years. I think it was about 400 or 600 AD that Muhammad began to teach the Muslim faith, We have a spiritual enemy that will use religion. And he'll use it very skillfully against God. We say, you ought to be religious. Well, I got to tell you, all religions are not based on the Bible, and all religions are not based on the truth. There are many religions that teach hatred for others, and we have to understand that. Paul or Peter is writing here to believers in Christ who were facing some real challenges in their day. There were people in Peter's day that were killing Christians because they really thought it was pleasing to their God. The Apostle Paul, before he became the Apostle Paul, was Saul of Tarsus. He was Jewish by background, and he really believed killing Christians and forcing them to blaspheme the name of the Lord was what he ought to be doing. Very religious, but deluded by Satan to believe a lie. And so it can happen to anybody. We are told the first thing we're supposed to do in this religious battle is to be alert and sober-minded. In other words, our spiritual battle is no joking matter. Satan wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy this nation. He wants to destroy anything that supports Christ. Some of you maybe saw a commercial that was advertised in 2020. It was on Hulu Channel. And this gal was sitting with an interviewer, and her name was 2020. And so 2020 had got on the internet and met a boyfriend who in this video wore a red suit, big horns, and talked with a raspy voice. 2020 had met on the internet Satan and began to date him, and that's why 2020 was such a terrible year. Now you can say, well, that's kind of funny. That's what Satan wants you to believe. He wants you to believe he's just a big joke. Who takes Satan seriously? Nobody with a sound mind. Well, my Lord Jesus Christ took Satan seriously. Satan tried to delude our Lord himself and get him into sin. He wanted to tell him things that were not true about God, and Jesus answered him with the word of God. We need to be on the alert to stay awake because Satan wants to delude you and me and get us into sin of all different types. The Lord Jesus warned his own disciples in Matthew 26, verse 41. He said, watch and pray so that you'll not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Satan constantly calls to our flesh. He knows if he can get our flesh, he will eventually get our spirit. And so we need to be very careful with the flesh because it leads to the next step. Whether you know it or not, Satan wants to take you captive. He has Christians today that are his captives. Christians that are caught up in sin and have given up the battle. This is going on. We have Christians that are caught up in gambling. And they're totally controlled by gambling. We have Christians that love the Lord, but that are drinking so much that it's destroying their marriages, their houses, their jobs, their life. We have Christians that are smoking on a continual basis, not realizing that Satan wants you dead. Folks, that's why this is such a crazy thing. People are doing things that Satan says, this will never hurt you. When I was a little boy, my dad used to send me down to the corner store, give me 25 cents, and he said, go buy me a pack of spikes for my casket. He knew way back then that smoking was not good for him. That's Satan, folks. When you're doing things you know absolutely, beyond a doubt, are harming you, Satan's got you captive. And there's so many Christians, it's so sad to watch. In 1 Peter 5:8, he says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Put another way, Satan's after you. Satan's after your children, your grandchildren. He wants them. He wants them destroyed just like he's going to be destroyed. And we wonder sometimes How can somebody hate so much knowing as much as he knows? It's an amazing thing. Satan hates God, even though he knows God's going to judge him one day. He hates him so much that he wants you destroyed just like him, because he is pure hatred. And if you understand that about him, he's somebody to watch out for. The Bible says he is your enemy, your adversary. He's against you. He's against your God. He's against the truth. He loves deception. And he'll deceive you any way that he possibly can. This is somebody that you can't trust. This is somebody that you have to be really on the watch for, because he's going to hit you at those times of night when nobody else is around. He's going to hit you when you're extremely hungry. He's going to hit you when you're extremely lonely. That's when he's going to begin to tempt you. And you have to be on your guard, because all of us at times get wore out. We're just so tired. You're in a weakened state. And your enemy knows that. He's not everywhere all at the same time like our God is, but he has minions that are everywhere all the time. And they're constantly reporting to him. Jerry Larkin is weak right now. Let's hit him. Let's get him good. And it's the same thing for you too. He's always on the prowl. If you call yourself a Christian, this is kind of his double whammy. He'll tell you it's okay just this one time. It's going to be okay. And then as soon as you do it, what does he say? You call yourself a Christian. No Christian would do what you just did. Folks, that's Satan's plan. Because if he can get you to doubt your faith, get you to doubt your salvation, he's got you on the run. We need to know the Word of God well enough that when he says that, we know that the temptation you're facing is no different than other Christians are facing too. All of us are tempted from time to time, some more than others, but all of us. Those involved in troop management, in other words, you're an army general, an army colonel, whatever, they practice a similar approach to what Satan does. In Robert Greene's The 33 Strategies of War, which consolidates the winning strategies of great leaders like Napoleon, Alexander the Great, and Lawrence of Arabia, the first key piece of advice offered is know your enemy. Folks, you have to know how Satan works. You have to know when he attacks so that you can be on your guard. Our assignment in our spiritual warfare is to remember that we are soldiers in the battle. We're not fighting it alone. That's why being a part of a regular church is so important, because others are in the battle with you. You can talk to brothers and sisters in Christ and say, I'm going through this struggle in my life. Would you pray for me? Sadly, Satan has so many Christians believing prayer doesn't make any difference. You can pray till the cows come home and it ain't gonna make no difference. You know, the Bible says exactly the opposite. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. Prayer is one of those weapons we put on. Satan wants to fill our hearts with fear. Do you know that's why the lion roars? The lion roars when it sees its game that it wants to take, and it roars so that that creature will freeze in place. He won't run because he's too scared to run. Have you ever been that scared where you couldn't run? Folks, that's when you're really scared. And if a lion came up behind me and roared, I think I'd probably be that scared. My feet might move, but I wouldn't be going anyplace. And that's what Satan wants to do to you and to me. In 2 Timothy 1:7, the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid or fearful, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. When Satan roars, all you need to do is look to the Lord. He can roar louder. When Satan knocks on your heart's door, let Jesus Christ answer the door. You don't have to answer it. Lord, would you answer the door? Guess what? Satan will be gone. The Bible says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil and he'll do what? He'll flee. And so you have to understand that. There has to be first the submission to God. If you don't submit to God, you can't resist the devil. You can try, but it won't work. So you have to learn how to submit to God first, trust God's word, resist the devil, and he's going to take off. Why? Because he knows that God's way mightier than he is. He's not going to stick and constantly nag you, knowing that Jesus Christ is right there with you, empowering you to withstand him. So what's our assignment? 1 Peter 1:9. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Somehow that's not what I got. Let me read it. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. We have to understand we are not the only ones going through these things. Oftentimes, Satan wants to tell you you're the only person that's ever been tempted this way. No, you're not. The whole family of God undergoes temptation. That's why it's so important for you, when you get into temptation, to have a couple good friends that you can share your heart with that aren't going to blab it all over the place, and they're going to honestly pray for you. They're going to tell you, yeah, I went through that a few weeks ago too, and I had to really rely on the Lord to get me through. That's good Christian friends. They'll help you. They'll support you. And we need to have those kinds of friends. So I want to ask you a simple question. If God says we are to resist the devil, do you think he'll give us the power to resist the devil? He will. All we have to do is take what he offers. He will make us more than overcomers. The sad thing is, I see so many Christians tell me, I just can't stop doing it. Folks, that is not true. If you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's no sin taken you but such as is common to man, and God has given us a promise that he is faithful and he'll always provide a way of escape. But you have to take that way of escape. You can't just say there's nothing I can do, because in the Lord we are more than conquerors. Satan can be overcome through the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, he tells us, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Folks, our Lord wants you to know that if you'll put on his armor and you'll trust him, you will be more than conquerors. When David went against Goliath, David was just an average-sized man, maybe 6 foot tall. Goliath was 9 foot six. Goliath couldn't be beaten by a human being, a normal human being. But David said, you come against me with what? Sword and spear and javelin. But I come against you in the name of the Lord God. Folks, guess what? Little David won the battle. It's so important for you to understand, when you go against Satan in your own strength, you are going to be beat. But when you go against Satan as a soldier in God's army with God's armament on you, you are more than able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Again, I want to inform you that when the devil tried to pull his tricks on Jesus, Jesus always answered him with Scripture. Let me stress that, because so many Christians are so weak in their knowledge of the Scriptures. They have nothing memorized. They don't read the Scriptures very often. And they wonder, why am I so weak? The Word of God is a very important part of your armor. And if you don't know it, Satan can use the Word of God. He used the Word of God against Jesus in Matthew when he was tempting him in the wilderness. Satan's not ignorant of God's Word. He just doesn't believe it and doesn't want to obey it. So as a Christian, if you're going to do spiritual battle and you don't know the Word of God, you are very weak in the army or the battle that you're going to face. In Ephesians 6:17, he says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Folks, we've got people that attend this church off and on that are very irregular in their attendance. Are you praying for those people? People that used to come here, that don't come here anymore. I and Dave go calling every Saturday, and you'd be amazed how many houses we hit that will say, Dave especially is good at this. He'll say, are you attending church any place right now? Well, no, we used to. We just this week, we hit one that used to come to this church when she was a little girl. Now she's probably in her 50s. She said, I used to go there, but we don't go any place anymore. We had another house we went to, and we said, do you attend church anywhere? And I think it was the woman that said, yeah, we go to the church in Burt. And Dave said, what's the name of the church? She couldn't remember the name of the church. Folks, that's a real strong defeat. Satan has that person. We need to pray for them. It sounds funny to us, but it's not funny. Thousands of people that used to be regular in attendance at good Bible preaching churches are on the sidelines, and they wonder why they're getting beat. We need to constantly be together to strengthen each other. We need to be into the Word of God on a regular basis to get our armament on. When Satan tempts you, sometimes you don't have time to go grab your Bible. Either you know the Word of God or you're going under because the flesh is strong. I forget which comedian it was that said it, but he said the flesh wants what the flesh wants. And when he said that, he was talking about his wife's young daughter that he was having sex with. Folks, the flesh does want what the flesh wants. But if it's wrong, it's sin. And one day he's going to regret that he gave in to his flesh. One day people are going to answer for all sin. In 1 Peter 5:9, it says, resist him, talking about Satan, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kinds of suffering. When I first saw that phrase, I didn't think it really belonged in the verse. It seemed like it didn't have anything to do with spiritual warfare. And then I got to thinking about what Peter was saying. He's speaking about suffering in general, talks about spiritual warfare. Every Christian faces this. It's not just you. Satan wants to convince you that it's just you that's tempted like this. It's not. Temptation is common to mankind. It's common to Christians. God is telling you that you're not alone. You're not the only one. Satan wants you to honestly believe you're the only person that's ever been tempted like this. You're the only Christian that ever gave in. No, you're not. Every Christian gives in to temptation from time to time. If we're walking in the Spirit, we can overcome Satan's attack. If we're walking in the flesh, we're fair game. We're going down for the full count. All there is to it. He wants you to believe you're all alone. You're not all alone. He'll torture you by saying you're the only one that's ever been tempted in this way. No, you're not. You're the only one that ever fell for that trick. No, you're not. Don't fall for his lies. The same kind of sufferings, the same kind of temptations are common to every single Christian. So, we look closely at Christian circles today, and what do we see? we see prisoners of war. People who had the Holy Spirit, people who loved the Lord, but began to believe Satan's lies. And little by little, you know, nobody starts drinking alcohol to become an alcoholic. I've never met one person that said, I set out to determine to be an alcoholic. Nobody. But that sin, played long enough, can make anybody an alcoholic. Nobody I know ever started out smoking wanting cancer. Nobody. My dad didn't want cancer. I saw my dad die a terrible death, drowning in his own lung because of that. Nobody starts that way, but my dad started smoking when he was 7 years old. About 65, he finally decided he was going to quit. And I saw my dad shake like a leaf. He was so caught up in it, he went back to smoking, and eventually it took him. But Satan wants to do that to everybody. It doesn't matter what the sin is. I've seen strong Christians just start dabbling a little bit on the internet in pornography. And I've seen strong Christian men and women get so caught up in pornography that all at once they're committing adultery, doing all kinds of things that should not be done. Those little deceptions are not little. Sin starts little. You've got control of it at first. But after a while, you don't have control anymore. It's got the control. In James 4:7, James says, submit yourself then to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. But when he flees, understand he's not going to stay gone. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, and Jesus finally said, away from me, Satan, the Bible says Satan left him for what? For a convenient season. Convenient to Satan. The next time Jesus was overtired or overweak, he's back. And the same thing is going to be true in your life. Just because you get the victory today does not mean you get the victory tomorrow. You have to be ready tomorrow for the next battle, because it's going to go on all the days of your natural life. You have a sin nature. And Satan loves to use your sin nature and my sin nature against us. Our body wants certain things. And when does it want it? It wants it now. Not next week, not next year, not when God says it's right. We want it now. And Satan uses our physical desires against us. And if we're not careful, we'll be the next prisoner of war. Instead of being victorious, instead of helping our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren to walk with God, we'll be an example of an overcome Christian. That's why we have to put on the full armor of God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 37, if you will put on the armor of God and keep it on and keep increasing in the knowledge of the Lord and your prayer life, this is God's promise. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. You are more than conqueror in Christ. But if you walk away from the Lord, you are a sitting duck for Satan. Your choice. I want to wind up living well for my Lord. So we're going to